Welcome to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create your dream business so you can live the dream lifestyle that you want and deserve. Yes, success is not only possible, you deserve success. And now, welcome the dream business coach, Jim Palmer.
Hello there, everybody. Welcome to another great episode of Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Those are great things in anybody's business. I'm your host, Jim Palmer, the Dream Business Coach. I'm committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. I'm really excited about this week's show. My very special guest entrepreneur, author, and creator of the Valuetainment channel on YouTube is Mr. Patrick Bet-David. Let me introduce Patrick briefly, and I'll bring him right on. So when Patrick was 10 years old, his parents fled Iran as refugees during the Iranian Revolution and were eventually granted U.S. citizenship. After high school, Patrick joined the U.S. military, served in the 101st Airborne before starting a business career in the financial services industry. After a tenure with a couple of traditional companies, he was inspired to launch PHP Agency, an insurance sales, marketing, and distribution company, and he did so before he turned 30. PHP is now one of the fastest growing companies in the financial marketplace, and Patrick is passionate about shaping the next generation of leaders by teaching thought-provoking perspectives on entrepreneurship and disrupting the traditional approach to a career. Patrick's popularity surged and actually created quite a buzz in the hearts of entrepreneurs all over the world when the Life of an Entrepreneur in 90 Seconds, a video that he created, accumulated over 25 million views online. That is no small feat, I'll tell you that. The Valuetainment channel exists to teach about the fundamentals of entrepreneurship and personal development while inspiring people to break from limiting beliefs and other constraints so they can achieve their dreams. It has been referred to as the voice for entrepreneurs. Patrick, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very good. How are you doing?
I'm doing amazing. I mean, I read literally your bio about three times. I mean, your life has been incredible thus far. I don't know what you're going to do the next 30 years, but wow, you have had quite an adventure so far.
It's been a wild ride, that is for sure.
You know, there's so many areas I'd like to go. I mean, I was checking out your books and things like that, and I did watch some of your videos. It's clear to me that you really have a passion for teaching. You're very transparent. I would consider you authentic. I've never met you, but you come across very authentic on your videos, very giving. And where did that come from? Was that kind of maybe from your childhood? I mean, clearly, I guess growing up in a war-torn country, I think as you described it, compared to the States, I've met so many people, Patrick, who have immigrated to this country, and I got to be honest, not to knock the country which I was born in, but they have such a strong work ethic, and it seems to me a much higher appreciation for the freedom to start a business.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's interesting you say that, because I sometimes ask myself if everybody fully realizes how the system of capitalism works, because the system of capitalism gives anybody the opportunity to become financially free, literally anybody. It's the easiest way to explain it, when people tell me, what is the difference between this form of economy and that form of economy, and why is America so special? What makes this so special? What makes that special? I just got back from Harvard Business School. I was at their owner president management program. I got back 3 days ago. I was there with 144 other entrepreneurs and founders from 60 different countries. Total net worth probably around $20 billion. Several people that you would recognize were in the room together. We literally lived in the same building for 3 weeks. And this question constantly came up about the economical system of America, why so many other countries are slowly but surely trying to gravitate to this. Capitalism is a mathematical formula. So X plus Y equals 19. If X plus Y equals 19, what is X? What is Y? Well, it's either 19 plus 0 equals 19, 18 plus 1, 17 plus 2, 16 plus 13. We can go on and on and on and on, but there is a formula to get your 19, meaning there are so many ways to become a millionaire. There are so many ways to make your money. There are so many ways to become financially free. There are so many ways for one to have the life that they want, but they got to figure out that formula. And in doing so, when you get to the top, you realize so many people have helped you and contributed towards your success that if you don't give back yourself, I know this sounds kind of hokey and corny, but that circle of life of giving and paying it forward stops. So it's our responsibility, the more we win, I feel, to give back, to make sure that continuously happens. And then hopefully one day someone mentors our kids, our grandkids, when that happens, whether you believe in that or not. I just think it's a circle. I think we can constantly help encourage each other to get to the next level.
I agree with that. I was talking with a friend of mine who's a speaker, and he goes all over the world. And he was telling me that when he gives some of his presentations, Patrick, in different countries, especially maybe former Soviet-type countries, that people would, like, they'd save up for 6 months, and some people would take 5 buses or walk forever. I'm just giving you some wild examples. But they'd go through, basically crawl across crushed glass to learn about these from these successful entrepreneurs. And he said sometimes when he's in the States, he might put on an event in Southern California, and you'd think it was a tragedy to have to drive 40 minutes across Los Angeles to go to an event. It's like this whole different mindset, it seems like.
It's true. It's true. So you know, look, let's face it. You and I, what part of America do you, where do you live in yourself, by the way? Which state are you out of? You said Los Angeles. I'm assuming you're in SoCal.
No, I'm in
Pennsylvania. So you're in Pennsylvania. Okay. So you're in Pennsylvania. I'm right now in Dallas. I just moved here 7 months ago and from L.A. I lived in L.A. for 20-some years before I came to Dallas. And you think about it, sometimes you and I think about it, you're saying the drive and how we have to have the drive. Sometimes we forget that this nonsense program called 9-to-5 was just started in the early 30s. It hasn't even been around for 100 years. Prior to that, we used to work 69 hours a week. Now, there's two arguments, too, that you and I will hear. On one end, people will say it is not healthy to work that many hours a week. Okay? Okay, no problem. Let's take that argument. On the other side, you know, the argument is, well, then why the hell do we have so many broke people today? You know, in America 50 years ago, 25% of workers made their money through running a business, a small business. So 25% of Americans were self-sufficient 60 years ago. Today, it's 7.8%, meaning 92.2% of Americans are relying on somebody to pay them their salary. 50, 60 years ago, it was only 75%. Why? We are no longer becoming entrepreneurs like we once did before. We're relying for somebody else to give us a job. And this 9-to-5 thing that's been taking place, it's almost become a virus because Ford announced it because of the challenges they were facing. And next thing you know, every other company says, well, we should do 9-to-5. Well, we should do 9-to-5. Well, we should do 9-to-5. And what people forget to study with the history of 9-to-5 is there was an exchange. There was a trade-off. The trade-off was, hey, John, you give me 30 years of your life, and you work 9-to-5. I'll take care of your next 30 years of your life. So if you work for me from 30 to 60, I'll take care of your 60 to 90. If you work for me from 20 to 50, I'll take care of your 50 to 80 because we gave a pension plan. Well, today we don't have pension plans anymore. So why are people still working 9-to-5? So it's a confusing thing. Now, obviously, most of your audience is already an entrepreneur. They're probably making 6 figures to 7 figures per year. So they've already made that transition. But unfortunately, many people have not. And I feel it's our responsibility, especially people like yourself that are out there creating podcasts like this, to inspire people to one day choose to become entrepreneurs.
Yeah. You know, when you think about in school today, I don't even remember ever learning the word entrepreneur, and if I didn't, I'm sure it's not in the schools today. So is that part of your motivation with your videos and everything you're doing is to help people understand there is a choice other than, you know, get some kind of an education and then get your resume, get an education or whatever, and then start a business? It doesn't occur to a lot of people.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. But yeah, it doesn't. I'm fully committed. When people ask me, they say, listen, what do you think is going to restore America? For instance, you know, the question right now, everything is about politics. So everybody, you know, wants to ask, who are you voting for? What do you think about this? And this is the conversation you do not want to have because most people don't want to have a conversation like that. And not that they don't want to have it. They can't handle a conversation like that because it leads to an argument and a debate. And don't worry, Jim, I'm not going to that direction. We're going to keep it safe today politically. but this is the thing. This is the thing to be thinking about. So let's just say, Jim, if you and I were given 10 million people in a country, okay? So one day somebody says, Patrick, Jim, we're giving you a country with 10 million people, and we want to know, what are you going to do to grow this country the next 20 years? So now you and I have a meeting, and we sit down and we say, Jim, what is our outcome? What do we want to do? Think about that for a moment. We have a country. What do we do? What are some of the things that we're going to do to attract talent? So we're going to sit down and say, well, first, the most important thing parents are going to ask is, what are my kids safe? So number one is what? Security. That's the first thing anybody thinks about. And then typically when we have security, we take it for granted, and then typically security gets weaker, military gets weaker, then there's an attack. Then we say we need a stronger military. So it's a pendulum that you go through. Believe me, I lived in Iran, and I saw Iran having a strong military under Shah Pahlavi, and then Khomeini came. Military got weaker. Saddam Hussein attacked, killed 500,000 people. Then, hey, we need to have a military now. So when you have it, you don't think you need it. When you don't have it, you realize how important it is. But then after that, what's the next step? The next step is, hey, Jim, how are we going to attract the best talent in the world? The way we're going to attract the best talent in the world is let's create an environment where entrepreneurs want to belong to, and let's create an environment where we give birth to entrepreneurs. What if we kept giving birth to entrepreneurs? What if we started early? What if we started an entrepreneur program from 6 years old, 7 years old, 8 years old, 9 years old? You think about this one here. This is a real interesting one to be thinking about. When's the last time you saw a presidential candidate or governor or senator or congressman or prime minister, whatever you want to call it, anybody involved in politics, get up on stage and recommend 5 books for people to read that have to do with finance, business, freedom, whatever it is? When's the last time we even heard somebody that's involved in politics recommend 5 books for us to read? Whatever those books are, pick them. Laws of Success, Think and Grow Rich, Rich Dad. I don't care what the book is. When's the last time we had that? So the question becomes, why doesn't that happen? Is it because the less we know, the more we can be controlled? Or is it because, what if we know too much and then we become entrepreneurs and then maybe it's going to be tilted to one side? What is it? So if no one's going to do it for us, I think it's on us to make a decision to become autodidact, because no one's going to encourage you to become an autodidact except, you know, of getting on podcasts like this. So some of you may ask, what is an autodidact? Autodidact is a self-taught person, somebody who decides to not wait for someone else to educate them. We need to teach ourselves for us to eventually become free. And I think if we do that, I think the solution to Jim and I building a country that goes from 10 million to 100 million and then we become the greatest country in the world is inspiring our 10 million people to become autodidacts and encouraging them to realize what life feels like when you're creating something for yourself by being a small business owner. I think that would be the solution. Now, you and I don't run a country. You run a podcast and businesses, and I run a financial services business and valuetainment. But my biggest purpose, people ask me what drives me. My answer is simple: history. My biggest purpose in life is to be able to give birth to as many entrepreneurs around the world as possible.
At what age did you have that entrepreneurial urge? I mean, when you came to this country, was it somewhere during grade school, middle school, or high school? When did that occur to you that I'm not going to go work for somebody else?
You know, so there's two ways with that question. One part of that question is that a listener is going to listen and they may say, well, an entrepreneur is born, because the debate is an entrepreneur born, or can an entrepreneur, you know, be developed, or et cetera, et cetera. For me, if you ask anybody in my family, they will tell you I was the shyest kid on the block. I was as shy as they could be. But sometimes life and circumstances forces us to change, unfortunately. Or fortunately, we are forced to change. I was forced to change when a war happened. I was born on, I'll give you the exact date, October 18, 1978. That is the peak of the revolution in Tehran, Iran. I mean, you're talking about the greatest revolution in the history of mankind. 9 million people revolted against a country that had roughly 75 to 82 million people. It's the highest percentage of men to populace for revolution that took place without the four common reasons of a revolution. So I'm born. I stayed there for 10 years. 6 weeks after Khomeini dies, on June 3rd of 89, he dies. 6 weeks after that, we escape. We go to Germany and we come to the States. While I'm in Germany, I meet a guy. He becomes my friend. His name is Jan. And his sister, Katarina, I thought she was very attractive, and I wanted to become friends with her. So Jan liked Nintendo. And Nintendo announced that they're coming out with a system called Super Nintendo, and Super Mario Brothers 2 was coming out. And no one in the refugee camp had Super Nintendo. So here I am. I really like this girl named Katarina. I want to be friends with her, but her brother, who's very protective, wants Super Nintendo. So I go to a local swimming pool that had four big swimming pools. It was in the city of Erlangen. It's an hour out of Nuremberg. And I go to the owner and I say, listen, I noticed there's a lot of beer bottles here. And I was wondering if you want me to help you clean up with these beer bottles. What's your plan with this? He says, well, you know, we pay somebody. I said, how about you pay me? I'll be a lot cheaper. How much will you give me per beer bottle? We negotiated 5 pfennig, okay? So I realized if I need to buy the Super Nintendo at Europe, in Germany, it was 249 marks. I need 5,000 beer bottles. I spent 30 days that summer, and I collected 5,000 beer bottles. 30 days later, I got the Super Nintendo from Kaufau. I brought it to the refugee camp. I became the cool cat on the block because everybody wanted to play Super Nintendo, and I ended up spending plenty of time with Katarina, okay? So the motivation was there. The point I'm making to you is sometimes we don't ask what is the real motivation, because if we knew it, I guarantee you we're already doing it on a smaller scale. Think about it. How many people in the world, Jim, think about this. How many people in the world wake up, like in America, how many people wake up in the world and automatically get water or have a place to live or have a house or have 3 square meals or have some clothes on their back? Now, I'm not talking about some of the places that's absolute disaster that Red Cross and all these other nonprofits are taking care of. I'm talking about everybody else. So how is it that a person can get to the level of expectation of having an apartment to live in, having clothes on their back, having 3 square meals, having water? Was that really the level of expectation you had in life? Well, maybe you need to raise the standards. I think that's the problem. I don't think it's the itch to be an entrepreneur. I think it's the itch to ask yourself, maybe I need to challenge myself and think a little bit bigger. What is truly possible instead of just living a comfortable life? That, I believe, is the biggest challenge.
Yeah, that's really good. I mean, that is, first of all, let's recognize love is a great motivator, and I'm sure.
Sure
do,
is.
Do you still keep in touch with Katarina?
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's amazing you say this. So when we left Germany, it was 5 o'clock in the morning, and my mom and her dad knew they couldn't separate us. I mean, everybody knew in the refugee camp. We were the two, you know, I was 12, she was 10, and, you know, and we had a strategy. We got together early in the morning, and we put our legs around each other, and we hugged each other. We said, there's no way they're going to separate us. And my mom and her father convinced us that she was going to go to us to USA. And once they separated us, the dad took her away, and, you know, we left. We came. I didn't talk to my mom for 30 days. But 19 years later, Jim, here's the story. 19 years later, she found me on Facebook. 19 years later, she found me on Facebook. And at that time, I had already proposed to my wife. My wife and I are very happily married. We got 3 kids. And she just got married 5 months ago. So it's a real good story. We're still friends.
That is awesome. Facebook is really, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of criticism, but I graduated high school in 76, and this girl there, not a girlfriend, but really very good friends with, she moved away. Yeah. I went to college, and she moved away. Well, I ended up about 6 years ago, I was giving a speech in California where she lives. She found me on Facebook. We ended up meeting for lunch, and, you know, through Facebook, stay in touch. But that was like 30 years later or something. It was crazy.
That's unbelievable to me. That's unbelievable to me. Those stories are always great stories to hear.
Yeah. Doggone, the clock is really ticking away. I would love to get you back in a month or two for a longer interview, but let me squeeze in another question while I still have time. I'm curious about what motivated you to do The Life of an Entrepreneur in 90 Seconds, and then I'm guessing the book came second, The Life of an Entrepreneur in 90 Pages.
Yeah, so, you know, we were sitting there. It was me and Mario. We got a solid team here together. We were sitting there, and I said, listen, you know, we got to figure out a way to tell the story of an entrepreneur, because a lot of times most entrepreneurs who are going through the challenging phases of almost quitting their business, they think it's only them that's going through those struggles.
Right.
They think they're the only ones that is having it that hard or that difficult, or, you know, the other guys probably got lucky or this. It's not true. Every one of them had to go through some difficult times. So we wanted to create, initially was creating a movie, producing a movie. And then we said, let's make something very short that can connect. And you know, first night we downloaded it, uploaded it on YouTube. The title was Best Motivational Video. The next morning, afternoon, it was October 31st at 3:16 p.m., I direct uploaded on Facebook and titled it Life of an Entrepreneur in 90 Seconds. Now it's at 29 million views. It went bonkers after that. But a part of it was to tell the story that, listen, you are not alone. You're supposed to go through this. It's supposed to be painful for 2 to 5 years. And things typically end up working out for you 5, 10 years later, but it ain't going to happen overnight. And then obviously the book followed, The Life of an Entrepreneur in 90 pages. And the first chapter, the first chapter, I get right into the truth, which is, if you really want to be an entrepreneur, if you really want to have a life of an entrepreneur, here's the truth. Because I think a lot of times it's just the dream is sold and the truth isn't sold. So people get surprised, like getting married and, you know, you go to your wedding night and she looks amazing. You look good. Everybody is so happy. And then no one tells you she will never look as good as she did on her wedding night for the rest of her
especially
life.
Especially after the kids,
and then
right?
You get married, right? I mean, yep. You're like, wait a minute, I'm disappointed now. Somebody should have told you that to manage expectations. So, you know, in the book, I cover a lot of the truth on what it is to be an entrepreneur. So, yeah, it's definitely been an interesting journey with that video going viral. And then now it's just been bonkers with people from all over the world following the YouTube channel called Valuetainment on the subject of entrepreneurship. You just need to go on YouTube and type in the word entrepreneur on the first page out of the 25 videos. 7 of them will be videos that we produce.
That's great. You know, when my fifth book I wrote, it was called Stop Waiting For It to Get Easier, because I'm a lot like you. I will tell people straight up, even people that I'm coaching. One of them yesterday said they're really struggling. I said, so get up earlier. And I didn't just smart ass them, but I gave them a lot of things to do. And I tell them my part of my story, Patrick, is that my entire first year in business was revenue free, as I like to clean it up a little bit. It took me a year to get my first client. And I'm like, well, what do you do? I remember at 6 months, I think my mother-in-law, who is still alive and I love, but she brought over the Wall Street Journal and said, here's an ad for a marketing manager. I said, you don't understand. I own my own corporation. I just don't have any revenue yet. So, I mean, the struggle is part of it.
Yeah, it really is.
Well, I'll tell you what. I would love to maybe in a couple of months, if you don't mind, maybe before the holidays. I would love to book a longer interview with you. I go through your people. I would love to do at least 45 minutes with you. I really resonate with your story, and I guarantee my audience is going to love this. Would you be open to coming back?
Absolutely, absolutely, most definitely.
Well, that's awesome. Patrick, thank you so much for your time, and we will definitely get you back. You stay safe, and I hope everybody survives the storm. So everybody that's listening now knows we're recording this as a hurricane. Was it Herman? No, what is it?
I think it's Matthew. Or it's Hurricane.
Yeah.
I want to say it's Matthew.
Churning up the coast, and I know you got some offices in Florida, so I hope everybody stays safe. And I will check with you next time. Thank you so much, Patrick.
Well, appreciate you for having me. Thank you.
Okay. Hey, folks, that wraps up this very special episode of Stick Like Glue Radio with a super entrepreneur. That's my term, Patrick Bet-David. Remember, Stick Like Glue, it's the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Watch for another great episode this time next week. I am your host, Jim Palmer, the Dream Business Coach, and you take good care.
For more information and free resources on how to create your dream business, connect with Jim Palmer, the Dream Business Coach, at www.getjimpalmer.com. And be sure to check out Dream Business Coach TV, powerful 2-minute videos filled with Jim's unique smart marketing and business building advice. See them all at www.dreambizcoach.tv. That's www.dreambizcoach.tv. See you next week for more Stick Like Glue Radio. And remember, success is not only possible, you deserve success.